Chapter 87. Kuchin was sitting in a chair in his hotel room. His strategy had not worked. His men had searched the perimeter from the inside out, and there was no trace of Katie James. They were all still posted at these positions, but Pascal's last communication had been discouraging. They had simply run out of places to look. The woman had either gone underground in the city somewhere, or else she had left. Neither possibility was palatable to the Ukrainian. He took out a small kit, filled a syringe with his special concoction, and shot it into one of his veins. Normally, this would give him at least a momentary rush of euphoria, of invincibility. He swore it made him think more clearly, too, which he desperately needed at this moment. Yet nothing happened. Well, something did occur. He felt even more depressed. He threw the empty syringe across the room, where it struck a wall and broke. The last time Fedor Kuchin had suffered defeat was back in the Ukraine, when he had been forced to fake his death and flee his homeland one step ahead of the masses that would take their revenge on his years of terror. At least they would call it terror. He would call it something else. His duty. His job. Perhaps his destiny. Though he lived the good life of a successful westernized capitalist now, where personal liberties were highly prized, Kuchin, in his heart, would forever believe that only a select few should rule all others. And the way one accomplished that was with selectively and effectively used power. Most people were only capable of being followers. Even in the West, only a few ever rose to riches and leadership positions. In his command back in Ukraine, Kuchin could pick out, within 5 minutes of meeting them, those of his men who would forever be sheep, and those few who would be the shepherds, and he had never been wrong. Yes, the West was part of the world where there was opportunity for all. Kuchin could only sneer at this. He had been a leader in his homeland, and he had become a leader here. A follower over there would be merely a follower over here. Sheep didn't change because they were given opportunities. And yet, will I now be defeated again? He wondered. He could not stay here indefinitely. He could not keep his men here much longer without arousing suspicion. Washington, D.C. was perhaps the world's most closely guarded city. There were policemen, spies, federal agents, probing, peering eyes everywhere. If they were looking for Kuchin, he might be playing right into their hands. And yet, if he left this city without Katie James, he had nothing. He would be beaten. It was a guaranteed fate. He grabbed a remote and turned on the TV. The news was on. The lead story was trouble in Afghanistan for the Americans and their allies. This made him both smile and also conjure up bitter memories of his own country's devastating defeat in that ancient land. The woman reporting on this story, he noted, was around 50, not the young, long-legged, and often bottle blondes who typically read off the teleprompter and had never been near the war zones they were reporting on. Her statements were succinct, informed, and she told Kuchin in a short few moments that she knew what she was talking about. He assumed that Katie James, though she was younger and prettier than this woman, had these same attributes. From what he'd read of her background, she had certainly been to every global hotspot in the last 15 years. No teleprompter for her. He focused on the TV. Kuchin was anxious to see in more detail what sort of trouble the Americans were in. At least it would take him away from his own problems for a few moments. He had no inkling it would lead to the solution of at least one of those problems. "This is Roberta McCormick, reporting live from Kabul," said the woman on the screen, as she closed out her segment. The name froze for an instant in Kuchin's mind. "Roberta McCormick," he thought. He leaped from his chair and raced across the room to where his soft-sided briefcase lay on the desk. He flipped it open and found the list. On here were the names and addresses of the people who lived in D.C., who were known colleagues of Katie James. Kuchin had his men covering two of the residences because their owners were out of the country. The other two were supposedly in town, and thus Kuchin had not allocated any surveillance at those places. He ran his eye down to the last name. Roberta McCormick. She was supposed to be home, but she was in Kabul, thousands of miles away. He had just seen that for himself. She lived in Georgetown, up near R Street, which was just outside the perimeter that Kuchin had set for his men. Her husband had passed away. Her children were grown. She lived alone. But perhaps her home was not empty right now.